often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 659. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht. Recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is laying on the desk right in front of me. You'll probably hear him purr as he's been breathing, or at least breathe heavy. He's very interested in what I'm doing. As he's rubbing my hand right now. Started out of the gate real great today. Josh. Can't even pronounce my own fucking name. That's rough times these days. It's rough times, you know. I'm getting used to the whole living in a fascist country. It's new to me. You know, I traveled to fascist country before. Dictatorship, if you will, in Russia. Twice. You know, I've met people that have lived their whole lives in there. And, you know, well, I mean, I guess, you know, if they're my age, they would have briefly had seen, you know, democracy in Russia. Briefly, you know, but from what I understand, like, you know, after the Soviet Union fell, that the mafia ran a lot of Russia. And, you know. You the point is you can live. I would say, you know, we live in a dictatorship now. Hopefully it doesn't last real long. You know, hopefully that dictatorship will end. And we remember, like, oh, after tasting authoritarianism, we're just like, you know what? That democracy wasn't half bad. Maybe we should have some kind of a say in how things go instead of one individual just controlling everything, and whatever they say goes. But anywho, I don't really want to start the show with that. But what can you say? It's just different times we are living in. On other news, I don't know how to segue into this any better, but I was today going to have the Muffin Man on. It's been quite some time since he's been on. I don't remember what day, I guess Monday or so. He had a health incident and like came close to dying, from what I understand. He said he was having pain in his balls. I mean, I was going to have him on and talk about this. Hopefully, we'll have him on here soon and talk about this journey as it is. But apparently, he was having a pain in the balls, which I've had groin pain in my nuts. Pain in the nuts. And it's, you know, it cannot be pleasant. I've had a UTI, which he thought that's what it was. Urinary tract infection. And the pain was bad enough. He's like, all right, fuck it. I got to go to the doctor. You know, we live in America, so it's not free. It's not free to do that. just to go in there and have it checked. Not a free thing. We don't believe in that here. We believe that you only people with money should be able to have that. Even if you have insurance, it's going to cost you. And so he went in, and they ended up doing blood work on him. And I'm not an expert on glucose levels, but from what he said, his level was like 500, which actually I'll pull up. Let's see here. Glucose levels. There we go. From what he was telling me, his level was 500. Which, I guess blood sugar level is what, he was referring to there. This isn't telling me, glucose tolerance test, yada, yada, yada. I'm guessing it was, Which, yeah, he had 500 milligrams. I guess they're saying, he was saying like blood sugar level. which, you know, it depends on your age, I guess, weight, that sort of thing. On a variance on that. Yeah, he said he had like 500, which apparently like means that you just might end up going into a coma and not coming back out, you know. And he went after the blood test, I guess, you know, he just went home. Went to the doctor, had that done, and then they contacted him, told him he needed to immediately go to the emergency room because this is life threatening. And I almost feel like, yeah, just wait for. Should have probably just wait for him to be on here, but I'm paraphrasing something the effect of that. And they told him, yeah, you immediately need to go to the hospital. And he's like, well, you know what? I can't really afford that because an overnight stay in the fucking emergency room is going to cost, you know, probably several grand at the very least. Because, again, we live in America. Yay! he opted not to do that and opted to go to the doctor the next day. And, you know, they found out, of course, he's diabetic because I guess apparently if you're over 200 milligrams or whatever on the blood sugar level, then you are fucking diabetic. Somebody to that effect. I'm not a complete expert on it. I know I've had tests in the past to see if I had diabetes. It's been quite some time because it does run in my family. My father was diabetic. From what I understand, it can kind of skip a generation, but... I mean, you can make yourself diabetic, I do believe, by just eating constantly, like, too much sugar and just not having a healthy lifestyle. Again, not a doctor. I'm not a doctor, though, you know, in this country, again, affording doctors is not really a thing for a lot of people, unfortunately. And, of course, that's obviously not going to change anytime soon because, you know. Our God King, I doubt, has any interest in letting people be able to afford healthcare. Or at least doesn't seem that way. Unless just one day he wakes up and just like, I should all of a sudden care about people that aren't me. I think it's unlikely, but you never know. But yeah, I mean, that's... fucking sucks for the Muffin Man, but I mean, he has said... That, you know, I didn't know it about it until, like, several days later. I just happened to, like, text him some shit. And they're like, oh, he sent me a text back of an insulin needle. And just like, whoa, what's going on here? He's with a reply to something. And he has to stab himself, like, 3 times a day or 4 times a day, something to that effect. And I was like, whoa, hey, what's going on here? And then we started a text chain there, which I was brushing my teeth. I would have called immediately. You know, it's kind of an important thing for a close friend to tell you. You know, they're like, oh, I had a... almost died the other day. You know, no big deal. Yeah, but I was in the middle of, like, just gotten out of the shower, was brushing my teeth and whatnot after work. And then, so I did a call after I was done cleaning myself. but yeah, I said he is starting to feel better. I did talk to him earlier as, he was going to come over today, but, he was stuck on the toilet all day, just, shitting, which he's had a lot of issues, health wise the last few years. He thought he had like IBS and other issues. And it appears the real cause of everything is diabetes. But again, I mean, I don't know. I'm just, again, paraphrasing. Hopefully, at some point, I'll get him on and give me the real rundown. he has said he has been feeling better after like taking the insulin and whatnot and what have you. So, I mean, that's, you know, good news, bad news. good. I mean, he's still among the living and starting to feel better and find out, you know, what, you know, why he's had the issues with not being able to shit. That's apparently been a real issue for him for many years. I remember him saying that he just blocked up, can't shit. But he has said today that he was on the toilet for a long period of time. It was like liquid and it was brown. There was no blood. So so that's fun. A little bit of vulgarity for you. There's you know, I don't really live up to the tagline these days to the show, the often vulgar. But apparently his shit was liquid. I you know, it's not very good number on the Bristol stool chart, but it's better than no shit, I believe. Being completely backed up of shit is just, it's just not pleasant. It's not pleasant. Yeah. And I've been a little paranoid since the, like, talking to him, like, do my nuts hurt? Do like, fuck. You know, am I having a UTI? Is like going back to work? I think it was Thursday I first talked to him, and then Friday at work, I was just like, fuck. My nuts are kind of bothered, like, I think it's just what I drink. I at work, I won't leave the line to piss, which is probably not good. I won't leave the line to piss unless we either are down or, it's an emergency situation. Like, I'm going to go or I'm going to, you know, defecate or piss in my pants. I'm a team player. I don't want to, you know, we get more money the more we put out. So, I'm all about, like, let's fucking do this. I'm here to make money. Screw my, like, I try to get it to where my body's, like, only on break times. That's when you go. That's when you go to the bathroom, fucker. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. But at the beginning of the week, though, I was, getting tired of, I'm trying to get fit. I'm trying to get fit before I go to Germany. Which is, I'm really concerned with the current state of things with, seeing, how, you know, our dear leader, as we, one might say, glorious leader, has completely tanked the stock market, the worst since 2020. And it's continuously to go down by, these tariffs, which again, this is, you know, I think 99.9% of historians believe that that's what really helped fuel the Great Depression was all the tariffs enacted, but there's like one or two out of, you know, I don't know how many that say, well, maybe that wasn't the real cause. all these tariffs against everybody except for apparently Russia, although I've heard North Korea is off the list too. Now, I haven't looked at the complete list to see who all is tariffed. I know there's that one island that's uninhabited, at least one island that's uninhabited where there's, of course, just penguins out there. But yeah, fuck those penguins. And I love penguins. I love my favorite part of the zoo is going to the penguin house. I don't think these tariffs are probably going to affect them too much, though. I don't know that I don't think they're buying any of our good. Well, they're not selling us any of their goods, you know? Which that was, you know, would... we might... That, well, you know what? Maybe that's where the St. Louis Zoo gets some of their penguins. That could, if you import those from there, does that mean that it's going to cost more to get more penguins? Which I guess maybe they... populated on their own now in the zoo. I don't know how that works. that could fuck our puffin population up at the St. Louis Zoo, which in that case, fucking bullshit, man. I forgot where I even started with that. I was gonna get away. Gotta get away. Because, I need to be elsewhere. So, you know, as we've getting our first real taste of fascism in this country where, previously it was very anti-fascist, if you might say. A lot of people say, you know, the idea on the right or at least the far right these days is that, you know, everybody was like this one point in time, which from my understanding, of course, I didn't live during the time of World War II. But from my understanding, even then, not everybody was on board. And America was very anti-Nazi then. I don't know if you're aware of this. Very anti-Nazi. Yes, there was a Nazi movement in America. They had a big-ass rally at Madison Square Garden, where Trump had a rally right before this, or during his last campaign, had a big rally that echoed a lot of the same things. but thankfully, the Nazis in America were not as many as I think probably today. They may call themselves something else, and but they believe in a lot of the same ideas, you know? And back then, there was enough people that were against the Nazi ideology. And I don't even know where the fuck I'm going with this. now that we've, sort of tasted. I mean, there's been racism and whatnot in America since its fucking inception. It's unfortunate. That's just, and it never went away. It never went away. I know for, it seemed like, ooh, things are changing when Obama got into office. Like, we've progressed because we elected one black guy, and that racism is over. Unfortunately, no. And in fact, right after he left office, I mean, even during when he was in office, I mean, the pendulum was swinging hard right. Hard right. But I would argue, though, that, you know, here in the States, it probably, the events of 9/11 really reinvigorated the whole racism thing. And I think because of that right there is why so many Americans are on board for, unfortunately, what Israel has done to Gaza and the Palestinians and the genocide that continues on there. That's, I mean, sure. Again, racism happened before 9/11. But living through that, as I was an adult when that happened, and just seeing how things changed immediately. I mean, if a good thing to get an idea of how people thought when 9/11 happened and how much they were thirsting for blood. Go back and listen to the Howard Stern broadcast from 9/11 when that day took place. Because, so, you know, Howard's very liberal. And through the years, he kind of flip-flopped on who he would support, politically speaking. And he's somebody that had Donald Trump on a lot. He enjoyed having Donald Trump on, and Donald Trump would talk about basically sexually assaulting women and shit openly on the Stern Show at his pageants and whatnot. And he even joked before about he was friends with OJ, which he was. He was friends with OJ. OJ Simpson, to be clear. Orenthal James Simpson. I don't remember exactly what he said, but something to the effect of that he had dinner with OJ and Nicole and basically said she had it coming. The murder. Just like, yep. Funny shit. Not to lie, I mean, it was pretty funny shit. That, like, holy shit, this guy is a complete scumbag. And it's funny that he's just openly admitting to the shit, this guy is a scumbag. little did I know back when listening to that stuff, this guy's going to become president. But it is interesting to hear on that day. I mean, Howard is just going, not the whole time, but, you know, I mean, he knew who it was. I mean, we all kind of knew who it was leading up to the attacks of September 11th. And Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda had attacked America before that, not directly in the country of America, but there was the warship that they hit in, I guess it was Yemen. And, they had tried to bomb the World Trade Center before. You know, that had happened, a decade before 9/11? Maybe not quite a decade, where a bomber tried to do it, but was unsuccessful. But you hear that rage in there, in the moment. I mean, it was a fucked up moment. It was a fucked up day to be alive and remember that day, even if you weren't in New York. Howard and many other people were basically, let's kill all the brown people in the Middle East. This is basically like the feeling. Yeah, that was the American feeling for, I think, a good chunk of Americans. I would say that, you know, I wanted revenge, seeing that. Like, I wanted, you know, whoever was responsible to fucking to die. I mean, I felt that way. But I gotta say, I didn't want, like, hey, let's just go carpet bombing the fucking Middle East and kill all these women and children and stuff. And, you know, I was very much against the Iraq War. And, you know, I was for going into Afghanistan. But, you know, again, just get those motherfuckers that are responsible for it. Let's not let's not have like a 20 plus year war where we have no real goals of what, how this is going to wrap up or anything. We're going to keep rebuilding this road that these motherfuckers are going to keep blowing up, and we'll funnel all kinds of wealth into that. But Iraq War was definitely like, they had nothing to fucking do with it. And I don't know, I was pretty aware that they were like selling us, you know, false information. Thanks, Colin Powell. That's what I'll remember you for, going in front of the UN with your little vial and talking about the weapons of mass destruction that Saddam had and that he didn't really have and what have you. You know, selling us that we had to go invade Iraq. Yeah, good times that we're living in, huh? But yeah, I can see how I guess we didn't start the fire, you know? It's always been burning since the world's been turning, as the great Billy Joel has said, or sang, rather. I'm kind of distracted today. Because, yeah, there's a lot going on in the States these days that's not real great. Not real great. You know, at least during the George W. Bush days. Now, we didn't really have a whole lot to say as far as those fucking wars were concerned. Those, you know, is in my eyes, George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, are fucking war criminals and should face the Hague. You know, trial at the Hague, in my opinion. They're evil motherfuckers. Here at home, I mean, we still had our freedoms. And not saying I'm going, oh, all of a sudden a pro George W. Bush guy. Still, motherfucker should be in jail. At least face something for that, you know? There should be some kind of payment for being a fucking war criminal. But, like, they even the Bush administration was aware, like, ooh, we can't get rid of, like, all, we can't take over everything completely. Like, get rid of these freedoms, civil, you know, rights and what have you. Now, I'm sure, I mean, they cut down on some, there was the Patriot Act, there was some shit. I mean, they laid the groundwork for what has transpired. You know, pretty much all the presidential administrations, I guess, up until now, laid the groundwork for a complete authoritarian takeover. You know, there could have, you know, it's just a mess, man. It's just a mess. The point I was getting at is I was trying to get in shape to go to Germany, is I want to get away from all this shit, at least for a little while, you know. And experience a little joy in a time of darkness. Yet I can't seem to get away from thoughts of this shit. I can't escape it from any kind of news. Any kind of news is not fucking good news. Which I knew. Then Trump would come back to power. That's it, because that's what it was the first time around, except for this time there's nothing stopping him. There is zero. So, yeah. But if I can get to Germany just for that fucking week, man, and then if they don't allow me back into the country, then they're like, oh, well, fuck. Hopefully the AfD doesn't take over Germany, at least before I get there. I mean, hopefully not at all. It's historically speaking, when far right, even neo-Nazi, you know, anything even remotely resembling a Nazi takes over Germany, it's historically not good. Historically not good, especially right now. I mean, they were building the biggest military they've had since World War II. And as of right now, the government in Germany, I'm not concerned about it. But the AfD is getting a lot of traction. yeah. I'm hoping, you know, that it, well, at least it does seem with Trump taking just fucking the whole world right now. The whole world economy is going to fucking go to shit because of this whole tariff thing. That it does seem that everybody else in the world hates Donald Trump so much that they're like, ooh, yeah, let's maybe don't do what they're doing over there in the U.S. Let's go the opposite route, which is like a plus side. I mean, it happened really the first administration where, like, you had Brexit happen, which I believe, shit, did that happen right before Trump got in or right after? Which that was, you know, very much a Trumpian thing, the Brexit. And, but after that, we're like, ooh, let's, this is terrible. This is terrible. Just because the U.S. has power, you know, stretching the globe. And shit we do here affects, like, everyone else. And, you know, that having just us with this fascist regime, I mean, now everybody's gets to deal with it. You know, when you have little countries like North Korea, they can just be completely sealed off from the rest of the world and nobody just wants to fucking deal with them except for, you know, Russia and, like, China. And it doesn't affect the world unless, you know, of course, they start attacking people, which, you know, this is, it doesn't happen a whole lot. I mean, they occasionally fuck with South Korea and, you know, they're technically just under a ceasefire with South Korea, which any day we could finish that, go back to just resume the war. But, yeah, again, I am just meandering so much and not really, not real thought out. This is, I guess, what happens when I don't make, like, bullet points or any kind of idea of what I'm going to talk about. But, yeah, the whole point, again, was me just trying to get in shape for my trip to Germany, and I hear Germany and just think of fascism. Maybe I need to stop watching. I've been watching the Eichmann tapes on Amazon Prime because I guess it came out just a couple of years ago that they had found the Adolf Eichmann tapes. Of course, you know, I would imagine most people are, well, I don't know about most people. I know that in America that actually this is not the case. That most Americans just don't know jack shit about the Holocaust, or they just don't think it actually happened, that it's fake. But Adolf Eichmann, one of the people that helped create the, basically the architect of the fucking Final Solution, one of them, who controlled all the trains and whatnot to deport all the Jews to Auschwitz and all the other death camps and concentration camps. When he was caught in Buenos Aires, or just outside Buenos Aires in South America there, it was 1961, if I'm not mistaken. Which I guess a couple of years before that, it was, I want to say they said in this show, it was 1957, he he had an interview from a Dutch Nazi journalist. He gave this interview with the purpose to also not let it out until, like, he was dead and gone. But he recorded, I don't know how many hours of audio, and there was over 1,000 page pages written, because there was once they recorded the audio, which from what I understand they had to keep using the same tapes over and again, so like not all of the conversations existed afterwards, because the tapes were expensive to get at that point. But they had someone transcribe of the tapes, and it came out once Eichmann was captured, and when he went to trial, this the Dutch Nazi journalist figured there was all this hype about fucking Eichmann now. He sold some of the written story, the written interview, not the tapes, to the press, with the express purpose, though, they couldn't share that information with Israel, so they couldn't use it in the trial against Eichmann, because he had to deal with Eichmann too. He promised, "Oh yeah, I'm not gonna sell you out here." But I guess he wanted the money, and it was like, "Hey, let's go ahead and make some cash off this." And but then he hid the tapes. He hid the tapes because they, of course, Eichmann during the trial, pretty much denied. I mean, he denied everything, because in those tapes, he admits, like, yeah, I was a hardcore Nazi. I believed in the ideology 100%. I was all for mass murder, and I fucking did it without a thought of sending all these children, all these old people, everyone, kill them all. Like, this is basically... what he had said in these interviews. And of course, in the trial, he just said, "Oh, dude, I was just a wheel in the cog. I was just doing my job. I was just flipping buttons. It was the people above me that ordered this shit. Those people are monsters. I am just a pencil pusher." And they hid the tapes. And of course, there was other, Nazis that were trying to go after this journalist, this Dutch Nazi journalist, because he had these tapes, and they did not want him fucking getting Eichmann killed. But at the end of the day, spoiler alert, Eichmann hung. They hung his ass, as they should have. He was a piece of shit monster. But yeah, watching that stuff and what's going on now, probably not the great combination for me to have a good, clear mindset. maybe Ireland should really be the place I should be going instead of Germany, but hey, I'm going to Germany. I'm going to drink my pain away. I figure if anybody knows how to deal with fascism, like living with fascism and getting over it, it would be the Germans. So it's, not everybody in Germany was, a Nazi. You had to sign up and basically say you were Nazi, but like they weren't behind the ideology. The hardcore Nazis were only made up like 30-something% of the population of Germany. They weren't all like, "Let's fucking mass murder, millions of people." It was only, and those, the people that were aware of the Final Solution, like that was a small select group of people. It was now, granted, I'm sure people that lived near the concentration camps were probably aware, or at least could have an educated guess, that there was some fucked up shit, some mass murdering going on over there. And of course, the people that worked for these camps and their family members were probably real aware, really fucking aware. That's... I should go back to watching more bright stuff like Handmaid's Tale, which is coming back for its final season. I feel like maybe this next season, the show's good, but it's also like, I don't know. I almost feel like the show at times, well, they go wishy-washy with the characters. They're like, June is going to, she's going to be a freedom fighter now. She's going to fight for, and they're like, nope. She only cares about her daughter. And, her son, and she's gonna say fuck it, fuck all these other people in Gilead, and just, it's, I don't know, the show goes kind of back and forth with these characters, and I feel like They almost start to make you go, you know what? I'm for Gilead. Just like, I'm not sure what they're going for with some of this shit. I'm just like a little confused at times. But I would assume this last season, that's going to be the downfall of Gilead. I would assume that they're going to go for that. Like, how do we end this Gilead? Unless they're going to go, you know what? Maybe Trump's got some power over this. I mean, he's got Sylvester Stallone out there and Mel Gibson and John Voight, and they could be pushing, you know what? I feel like this Handmaid's Tale thing needs to have a better ending. We need to all realize that Gilead is the true answer here. And it needs to finish taking over Canada and the rest of the world. Because they should realize that handmaids are the way to go. I feel like that could be a thing. You know, maybe Stallone, hopefully Stallone could be maybe not so psychotic. I knew as, see, before this last campaign, I was aware that his brother, Sylvester Stallone, brother Frank Stallone, was very MAGA. I knew that Sylvester was Republican, but I didn't know that he was that, you know, like old school Republican, you know, not like a MAGA guy. Turns out, he's very much. He said, I forgot exactly what Stallone said, something that Trump is our next George Washington or something to that effect. But so I guess, you know, since it's our first true dictator, that would sort of make him a George Washington, if you will. He's sort of right. Anyway, although I don't see Trump like forging up a river on a very small boat. He might have wooden teeth. He might. That could be why he does that, talks all weird and shit during some interviews. That could be very well because he's got wooden teeth. That would be really funny if he had wooden teeth. Anyway, yeah. So Germany. I've just been rambling about the same shit pretty much, with the exception of, you know, Muffin Man dealing with his health issues for close to 40 minutes now, man. It's been, and I can't shut up about it, which I feel like I probably should have just gone to the protest. I'm sure there's some in St. Louis tonight against this whole thing. But, you know, it's a shitty day. And, man, I'm going to watch the Blues game. There's a big, important Blues game. There's some positivity right there. The Blues have won 11 straight games. Tonight, if they win, that's 12. That'll be a franchise fucking record. That's some positivity right there. That's something to look forward to. They're looking like they're going to have a strong chance at winning the cup. Anyway, I was going to get to the point where, because of trying to get into shape, I've started looking into Arnold. You know, Arnold, yes. He's Republican, but he's very anti-Trump. And I feel like maybe he would have been. I would hope that Arnold wouldn't have been pro-Trump anyway. But, that was the whole, he took over Celebrity Apprentice after Trump. And so Trump, of course, hated him for that. Arnold, which, the guy has his faults. I mean, he knocked up his maid. Hid the fact that it was his child for a long period of time. But I would imagine it probably, like, he probably had to come clean to, his family, sooner than it hit the public, because that kid looked just like him. Now I'm just picturing Arnold's child. Damn it. I love Arnold, you know, growing up in the time that I did, born in 81. So I was alive for, like, the biggest, like, Arnold movies in history. It's like, Arnold in the 80s and fucking 90s was like the biggest movie star. It was, you know, in my household especially. Shelley and I mean, we watched like every fucking new Arnold movie of the 80s and 90s. And I mean, it was a must. I've seen Terminator 2 I don't know how many fucking times. I mean, Total Recall. Fucking shit. Running Man. There's Conan the Barbarian. Conan the Destroyer. Such fucking, I mean, huge stuff. And it's just so funny that this guy with this very thick Austrian accent, of course, when he first came here, couldn't speak a lick of English. And like the first like two movies or whatever he did, that they had to dub in English because his English was that bad. Like there was a Western movie he did and the Hercules movie he did where they had to like dub it. It was just like, this guy can't speak. No one can understand what he's saying. Is that Austrian? Yes. Yes. Is that Austrian? But of course, you know, his first thing that made him well known was, of course, bodybuilding, as that's what got him to America. And he was Mr. Olympian, I don't know how many times, 6 times or something like that, 5 times. I don't know, it was a bunch of times, Mr. Olympian. And it's such an iconic physique. Like when people think bodybuilders, at least maybe people of my age think of like bodybuilders, you just think fucking Arnold. And yeah, so, you know, if there's somebody that knows how to build a body, now granted, you know, I'm sure he used some things at the time he was bodybuilding. But even if like you are, say, using steroids or whatnot, like there, you still have to put in a fuck ton of work to get like Arnold did. That motherfucker, I mean, he had just worked out every fucking day. Still works out, like, every day. And, he, just, when it comes to pumping people up, you know, he seems very, I mean, he's very into that. And he's still, you know, into the bodybuilding scene. And, so I've like, he's got like a free book thing out there, which is, I think, just a sales to get you into, get the app. He's got a pump, the pump app, of course. The pump, yes, the pump. Willing to pump you up, yes. And I downloaded the app, but I didn't read the whole book. It's a bit of a long book, but I'm trying to, you know, get into shape. And my big thing, one of my big things is that trying to get my diet under fucking control. Now, breakfast and lunch, I'm pretty good at. Pretty good at those two things. Maybe not so much on the weekends, but dinners have been a shit show. And I overeat, I eat bad shit, and it's a problem. And so I've been trying to lock in on that and figure out what I'm going to do, but I'm reading up his stuff, and I'll probably go ahead and try to, you know, I might at least give it a trial run with the app. I don't know that I'll be doing the exercises that that he insists, because, you know, I got my run. I'm getting back into running. And I did order a treadmill that should arrive next Friday. So, I mean, I'll be able to run. I didn't run today. I've only ran one day this week because it's been raining all fucking week. And it's been kind of cold in the rain. And I don't like running in the rain, period. But I definitely don't like running in the rain, the fucking cold. That just fucking blows. And so I got a treadmill on the way. And so I'm going to try to get pumped, you know, get cut. As I mean, I got some muscle on me, but there's a fair amount of fat that's hiding the muscle in the stomach. I'm not gonna lie. That's the only place I've really got like noticeable fat. I'm not claiming to be obese or anything like that, but I'm definitely not in the greatest shape. And, you know, knowing a good friend just, like, is now diabetic and that he had quite a close call, that's extra motivation for me. But, you know, I had already planned on doing this, but I'm like, really, you just gotta, like, you know, I'm getting old. Can't fuck around like I used to. My body doesn't metabolize this shit anymore like it used to. So I gotta be careful. Although I still gotta have a little bit of alcohol. Gotta train for that because, again, I'm going to Oktoberfest. But yeah, I'll at least give a trial run with the app, the pump app, which is probably easier than me reading through like this whole book. I've got like my dinners. I'm trying to just go with a small little pork loin, very small, some veggies, a sweet potato, and pretty much it. if I'm doing some long runs and stuff, I'll eat like some cereal or something as a snack. But you know, yeah, we'll see what happens. I know there's like lots of Arnold videos and stuff, and he's, you know, being very, this is all about positivity, you know, positivity. Let's get pumped. Let's get jacked. He wants, you know, everybody to look good. And it's, again, his stuff. I mean, I, you know, this is not a sponsor of the Slapbox podcast. The Pump is not a sponsor. I haven't really given it that much investigation yet. So I don't know, if, you know, how good it is just yet. But, I mean, Arnold is definitely a positive dude when it comes to getting you jacked. It would seem, you know, from what I know of Arnold. I don't know the man personally. Don't know him. from what I've read, like, I mainly read the part on the diet. That was the thing I was concerned about. And it's about not really getting rid of everything. You can still do things that you like. And which, thankfully, I don't really need to change my breakfast and dinner so much. I mean, breakfast and lunch. My dinner is really where shit gets out of whack, and I just do terrible things to my body. Overeat and whatnot. And there's gas station food. I'm terrible about going to get gas station food, and I could lay off, like, the Gatorades. I need to really try to get rid of completely doing the energy drinks, or at least dramatically cut back. I've had, you know, there for a while. It was like well over a month without it. But you know, I get through moments where just like, fuck, I didn't sleep much. I'm like, I got a tough job. I got to get through it. But you know, I'm hoping if I get my diet in track, I can and continuously exercise, that energy is not going to be a problem. Which that's you know, the whole reason why I take that shit. Is I need something to push me through the day. It's I really need the NRG. Just 5 units of Shadow NRG. Call back to the old Ninja Gaiden handheld game from Tiger Electronics. That like 5 people will get. Anyway. yeah, but, the diet, again, my point I was trying to allude to with the Arnold stuff is it's not for, or just, for just bodybuilders. I mean, it's for everybody. And they break it down to, like, you know, give you ideas for any person, old, young, that you want to get into really fucking working out, or just be like a, you know, a fit, or a fitter, you know, normal person, that you want a better quality of life. And I haven't really experimented with a whole lot of it, but, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping to just get shredded for wearing those lederhosen. And I feel like it'd be a good thing. Like, if I'm stuck in Germany, I better get, you know, better look good. It never hurts to look good, you know? And I prefer to live a little bit longer, even though things look awfully fucking bleak at the moment here in the States. And I guess across the world. I mean, although, you know, there is a positive thing that I feel like American media hasn't really been covering it much. Which, you know, at least the mainstream media, which fucking blows these days, is they just... now cower to the dear leader. And anyway, on the plus side, hey, I don't know if everybody's heard about this, because it, again, didn't make much news here. But Vladimir Putin, you know, Trump's biggest ally, if you ask me, his armored limousine went in flames. It blew up in Russia in front of an FSB building, which the FSB, of course, is what the KGB turned into. It's their secret police. It is what helps keep Putin in fucking power. And there's not much, I don't think the Kremlin would admit who blew this up, but I would assume it had to be, even if the Ukrainians were involved in this if it wasn't even an assassination attempt, it's clearly a message that we can get to you, motherfucker. And it is my personal belief that Putin's days are fucking numbered. He is going to be dying, I would hope, within the next year. Or at the very least, completely ousted from power. Which means Trump will be real fucked, because that is his number one backer. Because it would seem that, you know, going against all of our allies, that the only person that would really back you at this point would be Putin. So I would assume in these meetings or these phone calls and whatnot that Trump has had with Putin that he's probably urged him on for a lot of these things. Which I would also guess, too, with this, seeing as how the this is against, you know, of course, I do not know any of these things for a fact. I'd like to point that out. But I would venture to guess that we are going with the shit show that's going on with the economy right now and all the stocks just fucking completely tanking. Trump's going to be scapegoating with shit and blaming, you know, knowing through the first administration how quickly he fucking shoved people under the door and fired them so quickly, had such falling outs that everybody in the first administration was recording phone calls. They were recording meetings. They were leaking to this shit as soon as they got fucked over themselves. And I would presume that we're going to have leaks before too long. I mean, he's been in there for a little over 2 months. I would be really, I mean, I don't know that anybody's going to really release these conversations he's had with Putin, but it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. And I would venture to guess, though, that as quickly as this has gone to complete chaos, that we're going to get some leaks before too long. But I mean, we've already had like the Signalgate leak, but because they're fucking idiots and put a journalist in with their chat, fucking morons. Anyway, though, this Putin thing. I mean, it seems that he's fucked Russia so hard. Not to mention the atrocities that he himself is the sole proprietor instigator of in fucking Ukraine. It's just killed so many fucking people. Not only has he killed many, many, many Ukrainians, but he's the fucking reason why so many Russians have died over this whole thing. And I do believe he's going to die soon. But again, his Putin, or his limo, fucking went up in flames. This is the Kyiv Post, which, again, I mean, they're going to be a little... That is coming out right out of Ukraine. So, I mean, they might be a little bit biased here, but their post on it, which there's American sources that print sources that have it, but I just decided, let's go to the Kyiv Post, because I'm sure they're pretty happy about the whole thing. A little bit more happy than Americans if they're journalists that are pro-Trump, which seems like you have to be these days. Let's see here. It says... It's paranoia as usual in the Kremlin as guards search other guards. Sewer lines checked and shots fired in Murmansk on Sunday. The perceived threat of the autocrat's assassination remains palpable. One of Vladimir Putin's luxury Aris limousines, estimated cost $356,000. Caught fire after an explosion near the Federal Security Service headquarters in Moscow on Saturday night. So right in the heart of the fucking Kremlin. It went to an even higher alert on, where the Kremlin went to an even higher alert on the protection of its leader. The fire was thought to have started in the engine, but soon after, the Aris limousine's interior was fully engulfed. Black smoke billowed from the chassis as staff from surrounding restaurants rushed outside to help before emergency services arrived. It was unclear if the car was occupied at the time. There were no reported injuries. Putin reportedly ordered the sewers in the area checked, as well as a pat-down of his own security staff, and there is footage of, like, soldiers getting patted down and stuff by, like, other, by FSB agents. It says, a day after videos showing gunfire from a rooftop in Murmansk surfaced on social media, officials are yet to respond to these reports. It is unclear if anyone is injured. In Murmansk, an unidentified individual climbed onto the roof of a multi-story building, is aiming at police officers and shooting at apartment windows. Within half an hour, local residents counted more than 15 shots. That was reported by Nexta TV. Official footage later showed troops from a ceremonial guard in Murmansk being individually body searched by a Federal Protection Service officer for hidden weapons or explosive devices as they stood waiting for the Kremlin dictator to lay a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. Which, yeah, that's the video I saw of the soldiers getting patted down. It was in Murmansk. But, I mean, they blew up the... It should note, I mean, this was, like, not any old limousine. This is, you know, bulletproof. It is set up for, to protect fucking Putin, who is one of the most despicable fucking people in the alive in the world today, if you ask me. I mean, I would think that a good majority of the world would fucking agree with that. I would say probably the worst dictator at the moment. I mean, it's hard to say when you got people like Kim Jong-un and stuff. But Kim Jong-un at least hasn't started wars with his neighbors. You know, sure, there was the Korean conflict. But again, I mean, that's been a ceasefire since the 1950s. So... way before Kim Jong-un was born, Putin has invaded his neighbors, and he's responsible for, I don't know, a lot of fucking deaths. I would imagine over a million at this point. That he's got a lot of fucking blood on his hands. And it's that limo, he actually was in that limo for his latest inauguration. So, I mean, that is the, like, limousine that he uses for, you know, protection to just, this is, and I think that's just a bit, that's a big fuck you. Your days are fucking numbered right there. I would think that even if Ukrainians are involved, it's somebody inside Russia that wants them fucking gone. I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, he's trying to get rid of, he thinks is against him, he's trying to kill. You know, Trump is trying to get to that point to where he can just kill off his opposition. I do believe as right now he's just deporting everybody that's against him or throwing them in jail. But I'm sure he would like to get to a point where he can just order people's deaths, which I don't think we're probably not that far away from. It would not shock me. I mean, this is very, you know, early Putin. You look at early Putin, this seems to be the blueprint. I would, you know, a lot of people try to compare him to Hitler, which sure, there's a lot of similarities. I think it's just authoritarian leaders in general have a lot of similarities. And, but, you know, to be fair, I guess, he hasn't gone full Hitler. He hasn't, because of the lead up to the Nazi Party taking control. I mean, he was blaming everything on the Jews, like every fucking thing on the Jews, and that they were disgusting, not fucking creatures, not real people. And he didn't immediately call for their death initially. It was a slow work up to that. Trump blames everything on immigrants and hates anybody that's not white, but it doesn't seem like he's zeroed in 100% on any one ethnicity. And I would hope it doesn't come to, you know, gassing people. I don't think so. Although I do see a point where it would come to he's going to kill people that are against him. I think we're a ways away from that. I think that there is a chance that we could oust this fucker. I mean, there's obviously some positive things to look forward or look at. Not look forward to so much, but I mean the fight the oligarchy rallies that Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have been doing have been bringing out thousands of people, just massive rallies. I think Bernie had said at the Colorado rally there was like 34,000 people, which is the most he's ever had at a rally before. And I mean, from what I understand, I haven't heard real numbers yet today, but today there's over 1,000. I think I heard like 1,500 or something protests going on in the United States today against everything in this fucking regime, which it is a regime. It is not. It's not a presidential administration anymore. It's a fucking regime. It's a fascist regime. Call it what it is. We're not inching towards fascism. This is it. So apparently, they're still allowing elections to go on, though. I mean, they haven't completely rigged that, although there's executive order to really put on the table there, which I haven't looked at that specifically yet. But from what I understand, it's like to give the federal government the complete control over all elections. So in order to just, you know, say, ooh, it's the Putin-style election, so Trump can win by like 94% of all the votes and somehow 110% of the people voted, right, of the population. And 94% of it, they'll go to, like, look at that. Can you believe it? Donald Trump has won 94% of the vote. We all love him so very much. And apparently we're not to that point yet. And, I mean, with, like, the tanking the economy, so, moving so fast. See, usually when fascists take control and everything, they do it incrementally. They don't do it all at once. But I guess we live in a different times. You know, different times, maybe it works now, where you can just set everything on fire immediately. But we are moving so rapidly fast with this shit. I mean, it is going to shit so fast. So fast. That, I mean, there are Republicans that are saying, whoa, these tariffs are... I mean, they're not saying they're against it, but they're like, this is... Like, I don't want to be ousted for this. Which, again, I think with the elections that, I mean, they're only really concerned about the presidency. And probably give a shit less about the other ones, because as of right now, he has full control and power, because the Supreme Court is basically on board with just letting him do whatever. And because of that, he can disregard Congress and all the other courts. But there does seem like there's resistance, and there's a lot more of us than there are of Trump. If the American people as a whole want him gone, we can get rid of him. We can get rid of him. And maybe avoid a Great Depression if we get him out of there quick enough. And have a course correction. We're going to need it pretty goddamn fast, though. This is... I mean, I knew shit was going to go to shit. I mean, you don't have somebody try to violently overthrow the government and then put him back into office and expect him to just do whatever the fuck they want. Like that, just here you go. Here's the keys of the castle. I know you tried to do it illegally before, but we'll go ahead and just give it to you now. and somehow allow you in there. But hey, you know, on the bright side of everything that's going on, the Blues again. If you're a St. Louis Blues fan, the hockey's just fucking going great. The 11 straight, as the time I'm recording this, they've won 11 straight. That ties their 2018-2019 season where they won the cup. They had 11 straight that season. And you know what they did that year? They won the fucking cup. And I couldn't be more excited. The games, man, I had thought about going today's game versus the Colorado Avalanche. And, man, a couple weeks ago, I could have gotten mezzanine tickets for like $50. And I just looked at it. I wasn't going to go today. Like, I mean, I had talked about it with other people. Like, maybe I should fucking go. But looking at it today, like the cheapest seats I saw were for like $200 earlier. There was like one seat left on the glass and it was for over $1,000. The hype, I mean, so everybody is so fucking jacked in St. Louis right now for this Blues run. I mean, they haven't officially clinched a playoff spot. I think one or two more wins will do it. And but they are, I mean, they're the fucking team to watch right now. At, like, my YouTube algorithm, it is just filled with, I mean, other than the Trump bullshit, it is filled with videos from like other teams, like fans of Calgary Flames. Like there's one like Flames Nation. They're talking about just like, are you fucking kidding me with the Blues right now? Which Calgary, I mean, they've already pretty much knocked Calgary out of the running for the playoffs at this point. but I mean, there's so many videos and people are just like, the Blues are just insane. And we, even the teams that are already going to be in the playoffs are like, man, let's hope we don't play the Blues. We want a chance at winning. And it's just fantastic. It's fantastic. Because I've been so invested in the Blues this season. And to see him go this good. I mean, just the shit is rolling so good. I mean, they're, even when, I mean, you have like Hofer had a rough game against Pittsburgh. Man, he had a rough game. I mean, the Blues won that game in overtime 5-4. Which he had a lot of great saves, but again, I mean, Pittsburgh, they give, they've been giving the Blues trouble. That was the last team that they fucking lost against was Pittsburgh. And, well, it looked like the Blues had it right before the end with like less than a minute to go. The Penguins tied it up. And it was like, you know, 30, 40 seconds left on the clock. They fucking tied it up. I was like, oh, shit, no. Like, oh, man. But then they came back in overtime and fucking finished off the Pens. And thing of beauty. I mean, and it's not just like one guy on the team that's been stepping up. It's like fucking everybody. It is a true team effort, man. These guys are just fucking on a roll and then some. It's something pretty magical to watch, as St. Louis has had some historical runs. You know, of course, with the Blues, the 2018-2019 run. I mean, that I don't think we'll ever see better hockey than that fucking, just the Cinderella story behind that whole season. Even, you know, the Blues win it, if they win it this year, I mean, it can't beat 2019. I mean, maybe it could, you know, get as exciting as 2019, where they could go down to like game 7 every fucking round and just pull it out in like fucking OT, which seemed like the case in 2019, which they should have. They were the last place in the January of that year and fucking went on to win the cup, man. That was fucking insane. And like every round of the playoffs, it seemed like oh, they're going to lose. And then, whoa, what the fuck? And, but I mean, this team, we've got like 5 guys, I think, left from that cup championship. And, yeah, it's definitely some positive shit to go by. And, you know, St. Louis Cardinals have had some crazy fucking years, and I don't think we'll ever see a better fucking year than the 2011 Cardinals. That run was insane. That whole playoffs and the fucking World Series was just fucking insane. Game 6 of the World Series in 2011. I've never seen, of course, you know, I haven't watched the World Series much since then. Yeah, I usually only watch the World Series really if the Cardinals are in it, honestly, but I mean, that was a crazy game where it just like the Rangers would have fucking, I believe it was the Rangers they played that year, but they were so close to just putting the knife in and finishing the Cardinals, which was like pretty much the same story with the Blues, you know, it's like all throughout that playoffs. And you had David Freese, the local hero, just stepping up so much. And there was just fucking that game 6. It seemed like the Cards were on the ropes, like constantly. And then they fucking pulled that one out. And then game 7, just like, you know, again, the Rangers could have fucking taken it. But the Cardinals just destroyed them in game 6. They definitely seemed like, ooh, well, I don't know. There's no way to beat these guys. I don't remember what the score was in game 7, but it seemed like it was just all Cardinals as they just completely stole the show. And, you know, I mean, that's some magical years in sports for St. Louis. And though, you know, the Rams, you know, they're in LA now, but I mean, they had the Kurt Warner magic. Now, granted, they just kind of ran away with it. That season, it was not even close up until like really the Super Bowl. They lost like 2 or 3 games that year, one of them being to the Titans during the season, if I remember correctly, who they did beat in the Super Bowl, but only by what, like a point or something like that. It was like the Titans were close to, I don't remember what the score, well, no, they were like a touchdown up or something. I think they were up by like a touchdown, one touchdown. It was a close game. They were up by a touchdown, and I forgot the linebacker's name, but Mike something had a tackle on one of the Titans at the end of the game to just like within like 1 yard of crossing the goal line to give St. Louis. The St. Louis Rams, not the LA Rams, the St. Louis Rams, the fucking Super Bowl. And that was an insane year because, you know, you get Trent Green going down, who was a fucking damn good quarterback. He went on with the Chiefs and unfortunately was never able to get to a Super Bowl. But holy shit, that offense, Priest Holmes, Tony Gonzalez, that team was insane. They put up crazy fucking numbers. But, I mean, he was St. Louis's quarterback, and, like, this is the answer. I mean, they had a hell of a wide receiver core with the Rams. I'm sure Trent Green would have done well. I don't know that he would have gotten a Super Bowl, but, I mean, I can't say for sure. It's hard to know. But, I mean, they had Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Ricky Prohl, Marshall Faulk in the backfield. I mean, hell of a team on offense. But then Rodney Harrison, in preseason, takes out Trent Green in a dirty hit, injures his ass. He's out for like the season. And this nobody came from Arena League Football, who was a backup, at least on Green Bay. He might have been a backup on a few teams, like third string quarterback, you know? And was before he was like a backup in the NFL, was like maybe even during the backup, he was working also in a grocery store. Came out of nowhere and just fucking lit the NFL on fire for a few seasons. I mean, that first season especially, just fucking dominated. I mean, they were beating teams by like 30 plus points. they would sit the starting offense. Well, I guess pretty much all their starters were on the bench by the second half. In those games, it was insane. They could have had games where they scored like 60 to 70 points, like if they would have just kept playing like they were You know, but it was so fucking insane. But I mean, you got guys like Isaac Bruce scoring like an 80-yard touchdown pass. You don't want to run like that, and then to keep doing that, that's gonna that's not good. You're asking to get injured. But I mean, the magic of St. Louis sports will help. This is a pill that can help me distract me from everything else. I feel like this podcast today could be enough to throw me into a prison in El Salvador. But, you know, considering that there's probably not going to be that many, you know, maybe 100 people that end up hearing this, if they don't shut it off immediately after me going into some kind of digression into the current state of things. You know, if the wrong person hears this, it could end up leading me to getting harassment and whatnot. But I doubt it. Again, the people that are listening at this point, I don't think they're going to send me to, again, El Salvador. But you never know. You never know. Though, again, I'm pretty far down on the list of enemies, I think, at this point. So I feel pretty confident I can just say what the fuck ever on here. As only time will tell, I suppose. Yeah, on the plus side, though, we got some great NHL playoffs coming up. There are some great playoffs ahead. We are just, like, what, a little over a week out? And it's shaping out to be good. I mean, there's the Ovechkin, as at the time of recording this, just tied up career goals with Wayne Gretzky, who unfortunately is a MAGA guy. He's a big MAGA guy. He's a big Trump supporter, which is surprises the hell out of me. He's such a nice, was always, I don't know him personally. Maybe he's not the nice guy in person. But he was always known as, I mean, the great one. He was like supposedly, you know, a really nice guy. At least always the way he's portrayed himself. Hopefully, I'm hoping with the Canada shit that maybe that, because he is Canadian, that hopefully, you know, be like, you know, maybe this attacks on Canada are unwarranted. Maybe I shouldn't be pro-MAGA, but I haven't heard him distance himself. Definitely after knowing that, I feel like, oh man, Ovechkin should just fucking disintegrate Gretzky's record. But it does appear, you know, that he is Ovechkin is very much a fan of Gretzky's, as he's almost felt bad for breaking the record. And they did have a moment together, I guess, or a few moments after this last game where he tied it up, and Gretzky was like, "Dude, just break it tonight," because he doesn't want to keep going to these games. Kind of funny. Kind of funny, he wants to go home, which I think Gretzky might even have a place in St. Louis. I know he was a fan of St. Louis when he was like traded here briefly, just not didn't work out with him and Keenan. which I thought was bullshit. I mean, he was the number one guy in hockey, which, I mean, still is. I mean, the records that Gretzky has, it seems unlikely that all of his records will fall. I mean, the assist records, the points record. I mean, it's insane. It's insane, the shit that Gretzky did. Just hopefully he takes the, you know, a pill of reality, and politically speaking. Comes back to reality and realizes, oh, maybe this fascism thing is bad. But I think, and for most people, if they hate democracy and get a real taste of fascism, they go like, oh, yeah, wait a minute, this shit is horrible. Like, oh, man, fuck. Of course, unless they're the fascist leader, if they're part of the party, then they can reap all the spoils until, of course, they're the one on the chopping block, which is always how that ends up being with fascism. It's just, it works really good for you when you're part of the party members that are just reaping all the rewards, but eventually you yourself are going to be on the chopping block. That's how it works. You get, you know, a few minutes in the sun where, woo, I get to just steal all this stuff from people and take it for myself, and then all of a sudden, oh, fuck, they're doing it to me. And then everybody's taking cyanide pills at the end and shooting themselves and taking cyanide pills. You know, usually how that ends up. Or, well, I guess, you know, some countries, that's when it goes completely to shit, I guess. Some countries, they oust the leader eventually, and they just go, to live out their days in Russia and just live out like a normal person. But I guess some of them just die while they're still in power. You got your, you know, Kim Jong-il and whatnot. the North Korean dictators. It just somehow just keeps on going. I would imagine eventually that'll end, but, you know, time will tell. I've ranted enough today, though. I hope I've gotten it out of my system for the day, at least. It's time for me to make dinner and go watch the Blues game. So I guess I would try to like leave it on a positive note. The Blues stuff is positive, though. So I guess, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.